Hey, and welcome to the Jim Miller Podcast. The rebrand and relaunch of the Hands Out Podcast is complete. In today's episode, Pat and I sit on my patio, drinking some gin and tonics, and kind of go over everything that's been going on lately in the world of MMA, and also some of the traveling that I've been doing. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy. I'm good now. Okay. way to enter into it. That was really bizarre. I was a little bit confused. I was like, what the hell did he just do? Like, is there like a ghost on the other side? I'm like, that's the old man's huffing and puffing. Like, I know that.
He's here with us.
All right. So
you know what happened is you have to hit record and then play, and I hit play. And then record.
Yeah.
Catastrophic mm-hmm. error.
Yep. All right. So welcome to the Hands Up Podcast. For now, all right, we've got a few things coming up.
Big things.
Some things are moving. So we are going to be rebranding the podcast. We're still going to be here. We're still going to be bringing you our stupidity, talking about fights, and having some fun. Probably doing it from my patio this time. We're like
transitioning
25 feet. To like
you can't have any gin and tonic.
7 o'clock of where we were the last time. I apologize that we haven't been on too much lately. Last week I was out in Vegas for the fighter retreat, and I tried to grab Mickey Gall, but the first night I got way too banged up, and then I couldn't find him for the rest of it. So he was having fun out in Vegas. But yeah, so we're going to be rebranding the podcast. We're still going to talk about MMA and fighting and all sorts of stuff like that. And we're going to do it from stupid locations because that's fun.
I'm enjoying switching locations.
Yes.
The gym was nice.
Mobility
and it was fun,
awesome.
But being in the back here is pretty nice out. Maybe we'll shoot a couple coyotes.
Yeah. I was thinking if I had the time, there's a rock that's basically right to camera left. That is the 30-yard flag. And I was like, you know, I've got some glow-in-the-dark paint. I should just spray the front of the block real quick, and we could shoot some darts.
It would have been pretty cool.
It would have been cool. But I didn't have enough time to set that up. It dawned on me, like, as I was grabbing stuff. So
we need one of those. What is it, crypto light targets?
Yeah. Yeah, they're pretty neat.
They're probably listening.
Yeah,
you could send one, and we'll use it on the show.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're gonna be rebranding and we're moving. You know, our site, carrier site, and stuff like that. Exciting news. JimMillerMMA.com is up and running, baby.
Live.
We have gone live. I still don't know how to run it. it's been a long time coming. We started on this website well over a year ago, potentially even more than that.
It's been through some changes.
Just things, you know. Things go the way the things go, and you know, we started building the site for another project, and then it was like, hey, we'll do it for this, and then, you know, I was like, you know what, I need a site, so decided to make it my site, and yes, it is up, JimMillerMMA.com. Go there. We're gonna have the podcasts there. They're gonna be, you know, links off of there, potentially having, an archive of the hands-on, depending on how difficult it is for us when we move. I'm going to start blogging and vlogging and stuff like that. And, yes, it'll definitely be some insight into the world that is Jim Miller. So,
and there's some amazing photography work on
there. There is some amazing photography work.
Nobody would have any idea that it was Jim and I in his basement.
Mm-hmm.
I think it came out pretty jazzy for two guys in a basement.
Yeah. Two guys in a basement and one's got his shirt off.
making dreams. That's what we do.
Yep. So if you ever need some low key photography, Pat's your guy, and I got a basement you can borrow.
Yeah.
So yes, we're gonna be rebranding. Not exactly sure when that damn wind. It's gonna fully happen.
Because everything takes like 10 times longer than you think it should. It should be easy, and it's not.
Well, yeah. Sometimes it's my fault, too. So, most of the time. All the time, if you ask my wife.
I agree with her.
Yeah. So sooner rather than later, we'll be switching it over and just going from there. And I had an epiphany. Before that, we're going to do a podcast from my little flat-bottom boat.
Which I'm pretty excited
about.
It'll
be excited because I've gone out there with Pat. I've gone out there with my father. But I've never gone out there with three adults on it. So it's going to be fun.
It's going to be riding low.
It will be riding low, but it's actually a little bit more stable when it's riding low. So that time we took on a little bit of water thing was like a barge out there.
Yeah, that was nice.
It was a pain in the ass to row, but it didn't rock for nothing. What are we doing, dog? So, yeah. Ow. Cut it out. I'm pretty jazzed about that.
I don't have a Facebook Live video, but I don't seem to have a very good connection in your backyard.
Hey, dog. That's the only reason we're able to be out here.
Yeah.
We got our thermocell lantern.
Mess up the thermocell.
15 feet, right? Something like that. Hey, Dex.
It works.
Lay down.
Pretty good.
It does work pretty good. I was looking for my little one. Couldn't find it. It's buried downstairs somewhere. I was going to bring it. I kind of know where it is. I was going to bring it to Canada. I would have liked to, but you can't fly with the butane, so I would have had to track down butane.
Were the mosquitoes pretty bad over there?
They were freaking huge. Hmm. Like sparrows. they were pretty crazy. It wasn't too bad because a lot of times we're driving around, but when you would be out and they're flying in your face and ears and nose and mouth and eyes, it was not fun.
That's no good.
No.
I don't really like mosquitoes.
No.
I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, I don't think anybody does.
There's some animals I would consider gross, like snakes that people keep as pets.
Yeah.
And mice. Like, I don't get mice. They seem dirty, and they should probably be kept out of your house. People keep them as pets, but there's nobody. There's people that have ant farms, right? There's not anybody that has a mosquito pet. It's unpettable. What else?
Somebody
is
out
unpettable?
There is really pissed at you right now.
No, they don't.
Somebody's
they
like,
don't exist.
Man.
There's a guy with a spider who's like, yeah, I'm glad he didn't say shit about spiders.
You know,
letting his tarantula crawl on him.
My guy Buzz over here, he doesn't hurt anybody. I mean, technically, the males, I don't think the males bite you. It's the females, blood suckers.
No, you're wrong on that. The females are the big motherfuckers.
No, that's the males.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Positive.
We're going to have to go to Google on that.
The reason they drink the blood is to feed their eggs.
I was wrong this whole time.
Google it. No. I'm pretty sure
science.
I'm right.
Science. I'm not sure that Facebook is up.
No.
I can't tell, but I'm going to stop trying.
Okay. Well, as long as we're recording.
After this. After one quick
after, one after
quick
one quick check. One quick peek. He's looking.
It appears you're sitting very still. If you could move around, that'd be great. Yep, we're... Maybe we are still live.
Yeah. You can grab my phone. My phone will be on the Wi-Fi. If you want to test on that, you're just going to have to pop out a switcher real quick.
What?
The fighter retreat was interesting. There were a couple things that happened that people were talking about. There was some physical contact, and not in the fun way. Between what a 145 pound woman and a 115-pound woman.
That's not good. It's a big difference.
Yeah. You know, I'm kind of torn on it. Like, I'm the type that I don't really condone smacking somebody. You know, oh, you guys are fighters and all this stuff, but come on. We're also adults. What I don't like is the 15-pounder was talking crap to Cyborg, you know, and posting some pictures and stuff like that, making fun of her for a picture that she took when she was donating her time helping teenage girls or something like that that had cancer. So it was a very inappropriate time, and I can understand the emotion that Cyborg had being mocked in that picture. You know, she's there helping these poor kids, and somebody's using it a picture that's taken while, you know, while she's there to mock her.
At the end of the day, too, right? Like, if you don't want somebody to smack you, don't antagonize them. Mm. Don't make fun of them. I feel like as a society, we've gotten so, like, legal and, oh, you can't hit people. Mm. If somebody says shit to you, you should get smacked. And if you're not smart enough to understand that at the fighter's retreat, I don't know what to tell you, right? If there's an environment where the person is probably likely to smack you, mm-hmm. that's got to be this place.
Yeah. Yeah, if you act like that, too, because there wasn't any backing down.
No, and there shouldn't have been. Cyborg should have smacked her. It's ridiculous. Was there any discipline from that?
I don't know exactly. I heard some rumblings that Cyborg might have gotten suspended for it and stuff like that.
It's ridiculous.
Like, apparently the cops were called and all this crap. And you know, I mean, it's in legal terms, you know, it was assault. But
assault.
At the same time, you are a fighter. You know, so putting your face in another fighter's face when they're clearly upset with you.
It would have been different, too, if, let's say, Cyborg was the aggressor. If Cyborg was making fun of the 115-pounder you know, pushing around, then, yeah, you have a bigger fighter picking on a smaller fighter. But if the smaller fighter isn't smart enough not to run her mouth, you win some, you lose some. Yeah. And if you run your mouth, you should be ready to get smacked.
Yeah.
That's it.
True.
That's it.
Other than that, there was almost a confrontation I saw, I think, between some of the Brazilians. But not, everything else, you know, everybody kind of handled themselves pretty well. It was, you know, there's some good information. And
Before we leave the fights, I have a theory, mm-hmm. and I want to run it by you.
Surely.
And get your opinion on it. I think that 90% of the fights that happen, at least between men, are because of an insecurity, and guys are nervous to fight, and they're afraid to walk away, they don't want to look stupid, and their emotions are going crazy because they haven't been in a fight, and the fight happens. Mm-hmm. I think in that group, you have a bunch of people who are very secure in their ability to fight. Nobody has this intense fear of the unknown that's never been hit in the face. And I think that you would probably have less actual fights at an event like that because everybody's confident in themselves. Where at a bar, you got guys who are terrified, don't get hit in the face a lot, and that kind of just brings you to another level.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're trying to peacock or somebody potentially, you know.
What did you just say?
Peacock.
Peacock.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate on that?
You know, try to make a scene, whether it be for a girl or whatever.
I understand. I'm going to steal that.
You know, strutting.
Don't peacock me. No, but I like it.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to peacock somebody tonight.
Shit. I'm going to be. There's like two other adults besides you here.
Yeah.
I guess there were some, like, I was talking to some of the other guys, and there was a little, it seemed like there was a little bit of tension that's what they were talking about. I didn't notice any, but.
Tension with who?
Anybody.
Just tension in the
just
air.
Just tension. Yeah, I guess certain guys that were in the same weight class. But it's like I've pretty much fought everybody in my weight class, so.
Yeah, there's no tension there.
Yeah. You know.
So I read a pretty interesting article that Joe Lozon wrote about, and kind of in response to the Reebok deal.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a super intelligent response for anybody that didn't get a chance to read it. He was saying that he tracked his sponsorships pretty closely for like the last 6 years, and it looked like on average he was losing a couple thousand. Maybe it was between 20,000 and 25,000. 20,000 is what he's making now. 25,000 was his average, and some of that went to a manager.
Yeah.
So he said he thinks he's losing about $3,000 per fight with the Reebok deal, but he did say that he doesn't chase sponsors. That he doesn't have sponsors being flaky because he didn't have a certain number of posts. And he looks at it like a good thing. And I thought another really good point he brought up is that every fighter should want the Reebok deal to succeed.
Yes, they should.
Because other clothing companies right now look at this as a fucking shit show. Nike's not going to jump in. Under Armour's not going to jump in. Reebok probably isn't going to renew it.
You know, it's kind of... The way that I look at it is that they could have done a better job. You know, like, here you go, you've got, I mean, I don't know, there are what, little over 500 fighters now under contract at the time they signed. I think it was around 600. You've got a pool of 600 people, you know, influencers who are basically looking to push something, you know, like, I mean, unfortunately that's kind of the way that it is. And you, I mean, it's nice to connect with a brand that you really love their stuff, but even if you really love their stuff and you connect with them, you still kind of got to push them a little bit and you look for those opportunities. And there is a lot of, ego involved. So there are a lot of selfies in MMA and, you know, on MMA fighters' Twitters and Instagrams and stuff like that.
This is coming from a man who took a slow-mo video selfie of himself
in my own gear.
Spandex. Yeah. His own spandex.
Own gear.
Yeah.
That's so right.
There may be some ego.
There might be.
you look good, though.
Thank you. Thank you. So, like, here's this opportunity, and they had 6 months, and that's not a lot of lead time in the corporate world and you know, these major corporations, but they have enough backing that they could have made it, like, enough time. They could have given us products where it was like, holy shit, this is the greatest stuff ever. Instead, every fight, we were still getting... I forget how many times have I fought with that stuff. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 times?
You got 7 fights since the Reebok deal?
Yeah.
That's insane.
The first couple fights, you're getting CrossFit and running stuff. Like legitimate, like, runner's shorts with a mesh inside.
Oh, so you didn't have to wear underwear?
Yeah.
And your balls don't bounce around?
Yeah.
I love those shorts.
But what? I mean, come on.
Good stuff.
Like, why? Why would you give those? Because that's not going to make somebody happy. Unless they really want that.
Unless they're running, like, and they don't want their balls to bounce around, and
then
they don't want to be
chafed
from underwear.
And then a lot of the CrossFit stuff. Yeah, a lot of the CrossFit stuff has, you know, it's got 18 zippers on it. They zip to the knee because they're tights to take them off. So it's not like the spats that I was wearing today that they're just spandex, Lycra, you know. They have zippers in them. They have a zipper pocket. They had the one pair, they had a zipper in the lower back. So you lay down, you put somebody in your guard, there's a zipper dinking into your fucking back.
Huh.
So it's like...
What's the scenario where you need the lower back zipper?
I guess running or something like that.
It's you would just unzip it?
No, it was a pocket for, like, ID.
Oh,
and
I gotcha.
Stuff like that.
I gotcha. I was picturing, like, a zipper into your butt crack.
Yeah, no. It's just a little zipper up at the top, like, in the waistband. This dog is getting really annoying. He smells those corn dogs cooking on the Traeger.
He knows.
And it was an opportunity to, like, all right, go third party, bang out some good stuff, and then people would have been happy. Like, what does a fighter want? Good pair of sweatpants, you know, some compression tees. Like, compression shorts.
Did they reach out to anybody?
They did. They reached out to a couple fighters and stuff like that. But they chose a path that I kind of was confused with, and so I agree that we should be supporting them and stuff like that. But they also got the ball rolling in the wrong direction, kind of on their own. You know, and it could have been a transition, and they could have, like, changed what they were giving us as they were able to meet demand and all that stuff. And
how is it now? Have they since caught up? And
they've caught up a lot. I mean, not completely, but they make pretty damn good stuff when they're trying to make damn good stuff. Wow. Like, the fight shorts are the best fight shorts I've ever worn. Like, bar none.
Hmm.
I mean, if that quality and that thought in design went into everything, people would be very happy, and you'd be happy to buy it. Like I said, it's just the issue that a fighter gets one pair of fight shorts, you know, and then you give him a bag full of stuff that's, like, really weird, unless you're really into CrossFit. But again, you want to be wearing that. You're supposed to wear it to an open workout, potentially. And, like, last thing you want to be doing is rolling around with a bunch of zippers.
No, it's not good.
So the execution was a little bit off. But Joe puts out some very good points in that you're not hustling for sponsors. You know, sponsors in MMA, it was a bubble. It was kind of like the housing bubble. It was very inflated and – It had deflated for a certain time, but it was still, like, they're not sponsors. They were never sponsors. There are a handful of companies that actually sponsored fighters. Most of the companies that you saw on somebody's shorts or their shirt or their banner or anything like that, it was a transaction. It was paid advertisement. So a sponsor, and the way a sponsor is supposed to be, is that the sponsor pays you to live the lifestyle to get to the fight. So, okay, we're going to sponsor you for this fight. You got 2 months. We're going to pay you for 2 months so you can train more, so you can buy your supplements, so you can eat right, so you can do this stuff. That's what a sponsor is. There are very few companies like that where, like, You'd sign an agreement. You're with them for a year. Or some of the company, like Bad Boy, signs. I mean, they were with Shogun, and Shogun had, he didn't fight for a while, like a year and a half, and he was still with them. He was still getting his checks from them, you know, like, because he was, you know, a brand ambassador and an influencer and stuff like that. But most of the companies, if you didn't, 98% of the companies, if you didn't fight, you didn't get paid. That's not a sponsor.
So that's kind of the same thing you got going on with Reebok now, though, correct?
Yeah, that's exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, but the relationship was like, okay, well, you feel like, you think it's sponsors. You know, it was definitely very... I don't know. I think fighters, I think myself included, were kind of like a little delusional with the way that it was. You know, I mean, you had a lot of managers, nickel and diamond, trying to get $50 more for a patch on your crotch or some stuff. So you weren't developing relationships with companies. And then it's like when the next expo rolls around, nobody wants to pay for a plane ticket out. So how is that, you know, how are you have a relationship with a company, but then, oh, well, if you're in town.
Yeah, if you happen to be here.
If you happen to be in town, we'll pay you to work a booth for a little bit.
And kind of like with that knowledge and having been through that ringer of sponsorships, paid advertising, you know, I can tell that you're kind of going about it differently with Dodge and Traeger, that it's stuff that you like.
Well, they're not even that's not even like I did one thing for Dodge. I mean, like I bought the truck because I love Dodge trucks. Yeah. You know, that's the way that it is. And that smoker over there is awesome.
The smoker is awesome.
So are the corn dogs. We need to check on them because we need to check on the kind of low on pellets too. That's why I turned it down. But, you know, it's about relationships. That's really what it's about. And that's what I'm looking for. So if you're interested in having a
pina colada,
a mutual relationship with a with a MMA fighter, a pro MMA UFC fighter, head to jimmillermma.com. Send me an email.
If you like pina coladas,
I spent a lot of money on booze today.
What'd you get?
I got a bunch of beer. Now Stone has cans. So they have Arrogant Bastard in 16-ounce cans.
I see. And maybe this is blasphemy, but I don't really like Arrogant Bastard that much.
I can have like one or two of them, and then I'm fucked up.
Yeah, that's true too.
I made that clone of it, which really didn't come out to be anything like it, I don't think. And people loved it. It was like a 7%, 8% beer, and people were pounding it.
Yeah, it was delicious. I don't know. I have never thought it was a great beer.
And then I had to buy stuff for gin and tonics.
Of course.
And then, like, I was like, you know what? I'm making ribs tomorrow, so I'm going to steal something from Dud, and I'm going to do the Jeremiah Weed spritz. And I couldn't find the sweet tea version of Jeremiah Weed. So I found some sweet tea vodka, but it's not the same. So I bought a bottle of sweet tea vodka. I bought a bottle of Jeremiah Weed because it's cheap whiskey. So you get that whiskey flavor. I had to get some whiskey since I burned the last of my whiskey yesterday trying to make my glaze. So I had to get a bottle of Makers. You know, and like, yeah, you buy a handle of gin because it's I go through a shitload of it.
Just because
like
of the
when
way
I make gin and tonics,
it.
It's not like you're putting a little bit in there.
No, this is a delicious gin and tonic. Tanqueray, obviously.
Yeah, Tanqueray and tonic.
Tanqueray is the only gin to have in your tonic. Blue Sapphire is a close second. But what is it, Beefeater?
Beefeater?
Unacceptable. Beefeater stinks.
Was it Bombay or something?
Yeah, Bombay's all right. Yeah, Bombay is the Blue Sapphire.
Okay, yeah.
That one's all right. But Beefeater is like a different liquor altogether. Beefeater sucks. If I was shipwrecked on an island, I would drink it.
And I also got, I was like walking through the one, I was looking for the Jeremiah Weed, and I found that coconut rum.
Oh, that stuff was dangerous.
And next to it was the Captain Morgan's, like it was like a Loconut, and it's like this round bottle. And it's kind of the same thing. I guess it's like spiced rum, though, with coconut. And I was like, yeah, I'm fucking doing it.
So you bought both of them?
No, so I only bought that one.
All right.
I was like, you know, the only thing that was wrong with that coconut stuff, it was like kind of weak. I mean,
it was
like 20%, yeah. But it was still.
It was probably like a life-saving.
Yeah.
That it wasn't too much stronger.
But yeah, I spent a fortune on booze.
So I actually had I got a chance to drink some really good beers at an 8-year-old's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
for my son, and there was some Heady Topper there. Mm-hmm. There was some Fiddlehead was the other one, which is probably one of the best IPAs I've ever had in my life. There was something with the sun on it, but that one came, it was like sunshine something, but it kind of came at the end. Mm. Those beers were pretty strong.
Yeah.
It's too strong to be drinking a couple at an 8-year-old's birthday party. Caught up with me. I feel like if you drink four beers, you're still being responsible. But four 10% beers,
yeah, yeah, no,
might not be responsible.
Four 5%ers is okay. But yeah, four 10%ers. That's
And Amr has promised that next time he's on the podcast, he will make us mojitos.
Mojitos.
Yeah.
All right.
Where are you right now, Amr? Yeah. We can get you on tonight.
Let's go.
Although I don't think I should drink much after this gin and tonic, because this appears to be a gin with a splash of tonic.
With some nice round balls in it.
Yeah. And why are the round balls better? They are. There's no doubt. They don't get stuck in your mouth.
They're supposed to melt slower. And, like, I guess, you know, it's a ball, so there's more surface area. So it, like, cools it quicker and all that stuff.
Because when the ice gets, like, small, then it's getting bounced off my teeth. But this is nice. It's easy to manage.
And I put them in the super freezer downstairs. So
it's colder?
So it's colder.
Colder ice.
Super ice.
Nice.
Yep. The ice from that freezer has frozen beer before.
That's pretty good.
And I don't even know why.
It just did.
It just does.
Does what it wants.
Yeah, just does. So we kind of got a little sidetracked there. I was going... There were some other things at the summit.
Yeah, we should circle back to that.
We should kind of, probably shouldn't, but we should. We had a drunk guy talk to us. one of the reps. I'm not going to go too deep into it. One of the reps or one of the companies that might work with.
And this was obviously late at night in a bar setting.
Of course, or 10:30 in the morning.
At an official,
yeah, an official, thing.
Official presentation.
Yeah, it was. You know, we got to listen to Kobe Bryant and Michael Strahan. You know, and the thing is, like, I appreciate the hell out of those guys coming and talking to us, and you know, it's apples to oranges, though, in what we're doing here in this stage of the game in MMA. You know, there was nobody in the room. And there is no, like, the highest paid UFC and MMA athletes, you know, that weren't there, don't even come close to what those guys made in a year.
No, Kobe Bryant and Michael Strahan are on a different level.
So,
and Strahan's been retired a while.
Yeah, so when you're talking about, like, you know, investing and moving on and stuff like that, it's definitely very different. So they, but the thing, what they were saying is be yourself. So that's why I swear and I say stupid things like we talk about Kevin Bacon.
Did you just pull a swear back there? You were going to say stupid shit, but yeah. You switched it?
I think I don't
You're
know.
Not being yourself. Say some stupid shit.
Say
be
some
yourself.
Stupid shit. And talk about Kevin Bacon and, so,
yeah,
and his package.
His hag. I love Kevin Bacon.
Who's the other guy? James Woods, right? He's supposed to have a
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm sure Google will know.
Google will know. How big is Jason Woods?
Siri. Hey, Siri. How big is... Anyway. So they were telling us to be ourselves, and then somebody...
Jim, I already told you.
Yeah. Like I just said. Like the pictures I just showed you.
Yeah.
And then we had somebody telling us to be Connor and stuff like that. So that was a little bit annoying and kind of... It got a reaction out of the room.
You're kind of glazing over it. So
yeah,
you had some high level athletes tell you to be yourself.
Yes,
and then you had another representative who was not necessarily a high level athlete tell you to.
So he's not a high level. He works with athletes and other sports and stuff like that. And he said to be Conor McGregor, and yeah, that didn't go over well.
So you need to become Irish?
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
Yeah. Not be yourself and, you know.
So we were talking a little bit before this, and one of the comments was they wanted the guy holding the belt, not the guy bleeding on the canvas.
He said, I want the guy holding the belt standing on my logo, not the guy bleeding on the canvas. And it's like, dude, people only know my name because I bleed on the canvas. You know, it's like, and all the fighters that you sponsor, they've all been there too. They've been bleeding in a heap. I mean, that's the sport of MMA. You don't know what's going to happen.
No.
You're going to lose.
That's why we watch
holy
it.
Holy shit. It's like John Jones is the only guy that has fought at, like, this level for a long enough time and not freaking lost. And that's because he's coked out of his mind and is, you know, working on some freaking another level.
He's on a different level. He could be an
probably
alien.
Because of the drugs. But, you know, it's everybody. It's going to happen to everybody. It's going to happen to everybody. So to sit in a room full of fighters that obviously don't want to be that person, it was kind of a bogus thing to say.
One of my favorite sayings is with your shield or on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, when I heard him saying he wanted the guy holding, standing on the canvas, not the guy bleeding, I thought of that instantly. Mm-hmm. With your shield or on it. I think that's such, like, a beautiful saying or analogy or whatever you want to call it, because it gives equal weight, right? Like, they're both the same. Mm-hmm. With your shield or on it. So it doesn't matter. Like, all that matters is that you went in and you put in the effort and you fought to the best of your ability. You know, so I love it, and I think that's all that the fans can ask for. That's all that I want to see. And I think some of the best fights, it doesn't matter who won or lost, because you need two partners to dance. And to, like, just, like, discredit the guy who didn't win, like, and sometimes I think that guy deserves more credit, right? If you had an athlete who maybe didn't have the same abilities but had more heart, I would always, I don't know, in my mind, root for that guy. And to just stand up there and discredit that guy, oh, he's bleeding, I don't want him. Get the fuck out of here. Guy gave his heart and soul so you could be entertained, you fucking scumbag.
I wish I had you there, because at 10:30 in the morning in Vegas, you probably would have been drunk too.
I would have been shit-faced.
And
you're in Vegas.
He's gonna talk for me.
Hello. I'm with the Hands On Podcast. Yeah. I've got some questions for you, motherfucker.
Yeah.
What a twat.
Can you answer this?
How could you say that? That's like that's just it's disregarding the sport of MMA.
The funny thing was, is he came. I'm not. Nope. Bite my tongue. I'm gonna bite my tongue on that one. But you know, it was. I don't know. I knew, you know what you're getting sometimes.
Does that hurt your ears, buddy?
Probably did. I don't know. He's been shaking his head a lot. Flushed his ears, but the people at home don't really care about that.
No.
This big white dog shaking his head. Like I said, there was some good information. The Performance Institute that the UFC built is amazing. It's a pretty sweet resource, and definitely going to try to get out there, make use of it.
So that seems like a pretty cool, it's free, it's like a giant hospital training facility that's completely free to you guys. You just walk in and
do so you got to schedule it. You know, you got to make a schedule, and it's not going to be easy. You know, there's quite a few guys that are local in Vegas, so it's a lot easier for them to be able to get out there and do it. So it's like, okay, well, am I trying to book my time there around a trip out there, or am I finding a time to go out there to specifically train? So it's like, because it's going to be easier to do that and get a slot, you know, and like, okay, well, this week wasn't open, so we're going to go this week.
And can you bring, like, your whole camp out there? Like, here's my training partners.
So you bring your team out there and use a facility, and, you know, they can run some pretty ridiculous tests and stuff like that when it comes to the strength and conditioning and you know, see where you are physically and all that stuff. VO2 max, and they've got a, you know, one of the altitude chambers, the hypoxic training things, and whatever the hell it is, right? Hypoxia, I don't even fucking know.
I wouldn't correct
you.
I think
it sounds
here. Good, yeah. Yes, the hypoxic chamber for your VO2, blood cells. Science.
The altitude thingy.
Yep.
Hey, stop kicking over the thermostat, dude. We're going to fight. if I get bit by a mosquito. I have not been bit by a mosquito. I'm pretty jazzed about that.
So did they do they have any plans to ever do that on the East Coast?
I don't think so.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it is too bad.
Why Vegas? I mean, I know
that's where their offices is. Offices.
Well, the
offices are
the new ownership is officed. Well, offices are out there. We're nailing it tonight.
Yeah, we are.
We're doing a good
job. I didn't pour like I was pouring for my mother-in-law, so I got called out last time.
Mine's gone, and I'm getting thirsty.
Oh boy. So it was started by the Vertita, you know, Lorenzo.
Is the one that pulled the trigger on it.
Yeah.
Legacy.
And WME IMG, they finished it up. And I believe they have an office out there. But like I said, it's pretty cool. You know, the only uncool thing about it is that we go into this, like, conferencing area or, like, you know, it's like stadium seating type thing where they're going to do little summits and stuff like that in the future and all that stuff. And Forrest Griffin, who's kind of, I mean, he could be related to me. Like we're dudes on like, you know, another wavelength.
On the level.
Yeah. you know, just stupid. Immature, like fart jokes, stuff like that. So he's like talking to us, and we go and we sit in the room, and he's like, "Oh, watch this," you know. So we like hits the thing. He's like, "You can, you know, we can totally separate it because there was a window to looking at the octagon that they have in there, and this curtain comes down or curtain goes across, and these screens come down. It's these like four big screens, and he's like, so you can like have privacy if like press is in here and stuff like that. And it's Ultimate Knockouts on the thing, and the second fucking fight is me versus Cowboy.
God damn it!
I'm like, I called him out on it. I was like, hey, Forrest, you know, I'm really not cool with that, bro. Like, second fight, you know, like you couldn't like, as people are walking out, have it.
Yeah, come
like,
on.
Like, no, everybody's sitting down. This talk started getting a little slow and boring, and next thing you know, I'm getting kicked in the fucking head.
God damn it, Forrest.
He's like, every time I watch it, I keep hoping that you're putting your hand up. I'm like, yeah, me too.
One of these times.
Yeah, one of these times I will. I know it. I think we should check those corn dogs real quick.
I think we should, but I don't know how to get you back on Switcher.
Okay. I think we have to hit it on there.
I can make that happen.
Vegas is the fight capital. Yes, indeed, Amr. Vegas is the fight capital of the world.
The world.
The world. We're going to drop out of Facebook here for a second. And I'm going to go over to this button. Oh, I don't want to log in.
We could do it with this.
What's that?
With
no, just hold on a second. Sorry, I have to type in the email account, and I'm thinking about it, so I'm not talking, and Pat could be talking.
I could be talking, but you're actually talking. You're babbling. You're not saying anything intelligent, yeah. But you were taking up the air. Which is good, and it is important.
It is. Dead air sucks.
Dead air does suck. I think this is an important time to let you know that Amr seemed available to go out to Vegas. I would be available for Vegas. And
all right, sweet, Pat.
Hey, we could do that. I think I could probably get the time in my schedule. I'm thinking like 2018.
2018?
I'm going to have 2 days free in July.
All right.
It'll be a Saturday, Sunday. We'll fly in. We'll fly out. Vegas doesn't seem like my kind of place, right? I'm not in for Vegas, actually. I'm not cool enough.
Vegas?
No.
No.
I would like to go to Canada, maybe someplace with a lake.
Maybe someplace with a lake.
Yeah,
there you go.
Lakes.
I can't.
But I'm not in for Vegas.
I can't get on here. All right, never mind. You're not going to get to see. Just open the lid, pick up the very hot kerosene lantern.
I'll describe it.
Yeah.
Great detail.
So my original thought was that we were going to light this party up with some lanterns because I've got a little bit of a lantern fetish. I am a big fan of kerosene lanterns. I've only got one, but I like them. They're hot. It's sexy. And they're very hot to touch.
Do we have any plates?
No, we don't. I'm just going to fucking handle it. Just pick it up. Squish it a little bit with your fingers. Is it hot?
Yes.
Take a bite out of the tip.
Affirmative.
Nibble the tip, Pat. Nibble the tip. Is it hot throughout, or is it still frozen?
No, it's hot throughout.
All right. Yeah. All right. So I was going to light it with the lanterns. Yeah, preferably the one you didn't like. Nibble.
I can make it happen either way.
But then the light would be, like, we'd have to have it, like, here, and then that would just attract more bugs. Having those light panels, the LED panels.
It's nice. It keeps the bugs away from us. It would have been more romantic with the lanterns, ooh, but you win some, you lose some.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Wow. Smoked corn dogs are pretty awesome. Even without any mustard. Whose house is this? No fucking mustard.
Mustard and barbecue sauce would be customary.
Mm-hmm. Some of that sriracha. The Gulden's sriracha spicy brown. Oh, yeah.
So, since you and I last sat down, you've done some pretty cool hunting with some pretty cool hunters.
Talking.
I think you should fill you should fill more than just your mouth here. You should fill us in on how the Canada trip went with Dud. I know we did have a follow-up podcast.
Yeah, and the audio sucked, and I apologize for that. Dud and I had a seven-hour drive.
Seven hours is a long drive.
From up, we podcasted for four and a half. We did one for his audio, and then I don't even know if his new site is up yet. He's kind of getting screwed around by the
technical
the internet. Yeah, the internet gods are not happy. There's so much content. His new update is pretty sweet. The new site. It's kind of its own social media platform. And there are different levels to it. And so we did then a video cast where we kind of got a little bit looser, and did that for a little over an hour. And then we did that podcast that was 2 hours long for us and hey Dopey, please stop. We're driving in a little Volvo down the highway, down Highway 1. It's a pretty sweet drive. But the hunt, if you didn't listen to it, I'm disappointed in myself a little bit.
You did not get a bear.
I did not get a bear. I had one opportunity. Saw a couple shooters. Got really close to at least one, non-shooter, one little bear. And saw a couple, a couple big ones. But the first night out, saw this. Had a couple stalks too. First night out, we had a stalk on one early in the day. Ended up the wind swirled on us and it bolted. That night we came into this little field and a lot of it is driving around. You're basically just driving these roads, these logging roads, and the bears are looking for green at that point. And it was a really late green this year. They're kind of behind with their spring. The woman that was cooking for us at the camp, she lives right down the road, and she's lived up there for 35 years. What's the matter, bro?
Shake it out.
Yeah. She said that she normally had her garden in a few weeks prior, and she didn't even have it in yet. So it was late. There was probably still quite a few bears still denned up or around the den. Kind of weird. They eat hair before they go into hibernation. They plug up. Yeah, they have to stay around the den until they pass plug and all that stuff. Fun stuff. nice tearjerker. So we see this bear, and we put the greatest stalk ever in mankind on this bear. There were three of us, and we like it was feeding in these aspens and you know this field across, and we couldn't go out through the field. It would have seen us, so we like looped in through the timber, and you know it's bear. Black bears, grizzly bears, wolves, and they're like going through this, we're sneaking through this timber, and it's a pretty sweet place to be like trying to be the predator, you know?
It's intense.
It is intense.
Different level.
So that was intense, just sneaking around in there. And then we came up on it, and I broke off from my guides to try to close the distance because it saw us, but it wasn't alerted. And it kind of just like wandered off. So I was trying to get a shot, and ended up kind of tucking into some timber. And I put a tree between us and tried to close the distance. And when I popped my head back out, I couldn't find it. So I came back to the guides, and we start walking out. And we're like talking to each other, and my one guy, Dallas, he stops and he like snaps back. He's like, "Oh, I thought I heard something." And he, like, takes a couple more steps, and he's like, "Holy shit, the bear." So the bear looped around on us, which is really weird, you know? So it was intense because it's like this bear just basically it walked down our path. You know, it knew we were there.
Who is hunting who at that
point?
Yeah,
at that point, you're like, holy shit, you know? Like, this is legit. This is going to get freaking awesome.
Here we go.
And in the meantime, we're in this little like open spot, but it was just, the mosquitoes were so dense that like you were just like walking through, like you could feel them just like they hit you. It's not like these little mosquitoes that we have here that you don't feel them until they bite you.
Mm-hmm.
You'd feel them land on you because they just smack you.
That's
so
terrible.
It's like, dude, it was like, you know, like I wiped my.
The local guys didn't have the.
At first I wasn't around them, and then like I don't think she had it that night. Brittany, the other guy that I was with, she had one, but I don't know if she had it that night. So we like freeze and like crouch down, and then there's kind of a bush between us, and the bear walks. And like it's the sun's going down, so it's kind of getting that dust time where it makes it a little bit harder to range and stuff like that.
Sure.
Like looking at it, and your eyes are playing tricks on you. There's mosquitoes actually in my eyeballs. So I draw, and it's walking from right to left, and both of my guides were in front of me as we were walking out. So they're at like my 11 o'clock. So I start kind of swinging towards them, and I hit a little willow. So I'm like stuck on this thing. So I try to loop around it, or I think to loop around it, and like my guides are right there. So I can't like come around because then I'll just be pointing my bow like right at them. So I basically kind of like push into this willow a little bit and try to like lean to my right. And just totally forgot my shot sequence and punched it bad and shot underneath the thing. And it jumped to this tree and it's like a couple feet up at the tree. So I like knock another arrow and I go to draw and I just jerked it back there. The arrow fell off the rest. So I let down, draw again. And as I'm drawing the second time, it starts climbing down the tree. And as I punch the trigger again, it released from the tree, and the arrow went between its chest and the tree. Kind of skipped off the backside of the tree a little bit. And I was like, dude. Like, well, it's only the first day. I'll get another shot.
Yeah.
You know? Nope. Nothing else after that, so.
How different was it being up there as opposed to, like, hunting in Jersey? Was it?
Yeah.
The difference in my mind would be the vastness of the wilderness. So in Jersey, the best we can do, you know, you could You would always know that, hey, if I kept walking, I would get out of trouble.
Yeah.
Right? Like, even when we're in pretty deep, you could walk out, get lost, just walk in a straight line long enough. Mm-hmm. But that's not the case up here.
Yeah, not really, no. The piece that we were hunting, the guide, his territory was 1,100 square miles.
You can't just walk through that.
I mean, you could.
I don't think so.
You could.
You'd have to
with the right supplies, but we hunted like an eighth of it, and we would be driving for a long time.
Is that like a different element? Is that in the back of your mind that like, hey, if I get lost out here, I'm in trouble?
No. I mean, the thing that sucks too is there's no cell service. They've got radios, but they're very spotty. Don't eat the stick, dope. Hey, don't eat the stick. Okay? I let you nibble the stuff off of it. It was cool, you know? Like, the crazy thing was, is that kind of blew my mind, was the grizzly bears just strolling down the road.
Did you actually see a grizzly bear?
No, we didn't see a grizzly bear. But we saw their tracks, and there was one that walked down the road for like 15 miles. Just like...
Right down the road.
Just walked
cruising
down the road. I'm going to turn this thing off real quick. Yeah, it was pretty cool. You know, I've always been kind of fascinated with the grizzlies
They're a terrifying animal.
They are a terrifying animal.
Aggressiveness.
You know, and like hearing stories about them from guys that have hunted them and guided and stuff like that. I mean, it's like, you know, I'm just kind of ignorant to them because I've never been around one before. And, you know, I'm fascinated with them, but never been around them. Like, these guys have been face to face with them, you know, have shot bears defending clients and themselves and stuff like that, and like
that's intense, man.
You know, slept with their rifle pointed at the window, you know, because the bear had been breaking in and stuff like that. Like the one kid, the kid Dusty, that Dudley's friend that came up and guided him, and he's a guide up farther north, and he's bringing this one moose hunter. Guy came in, he's like, "Yeah, I wanna hunt moose." You know, he's like, "I want like a alpine hunt." You know, like I want to be living in a wall tent type thing. You know, paying the right price, so they're like, "Okay, well, let's build you a tent."
Done.
So they built a base camp.
I can pitch a tent for the right price.
You know. So can I. It's not that expensive. So they build this base camp for him, and like they're going up to it, and the guy's like, "Oh, is this, you know," he's like, "there are grizzlies around?" And Dusty's like, "Oh yeah, yeah." He's like, "There's probably a grizzly bear sleeping in your bed right now." And the guy's like, "Wait, what?" You know? No shit. They get to the camp, and the grizzly had taken the wall tent and turned it into a nest. Like, took all the shit, piled it up, dug a fucking hole in the middle of the tent, ripped the door off and shit.
So there was literally
a bear
sleeping
living
in his bed.
Yeah, sleeping in his bed. So Dusty cleans the shit up, you know, and gets things kind of sorted out, and he's like, "All right, you know," he's like, grab your bag and, you know, let's go to sleep. He's like, "Wait, you're not gonna put the door back on?" He's like, "Dude, if that bear decides to come into this tent, that door's not going to do any good."
It's not going to slow him down.
Yeah. You're talking about like a 9.5-foot grizzly bear or some shit, you know? Like, so yeah, and the intensity in his eyes is what really kind of got me. You know, it was like, it was different. You know, you could totally see a respect for the thing. It's pretty cool, but yeah, it was a cool hunt. Sucks I didn't close the deal, but that's my own fault, and I'm making it my personal goal to get better. And to, you know, I'm a bow hunter every day. So I need to kind of act like it, even though I'm a fighter as well, and that kind of hinders my ability to train my archery skills sometimes. I need to try to do it a little bit every day, so that shot sequence comes a little bit better. But go over there.
I feel like hunting is one of those things that, you know, as a relatively new hunter myself and with no actual success, it just, in your mind, you're like, oh, it's so easy. Like, yeah. I'll go, and like deer in New Jersey, there's so many deer. I bet you there hasn't been a day in 10 years that I haven't seen one deer.
Yeah.
At least one deer in a day. So you think like, oh, I got this. I'm going to go in the woods. I'm going to shoot a deer and it's going to be great. And then it's so fucking hard. And there's so many different variables. And when you're actually like, in the woods, everything's a little bit, not a little bit, a ton more skittish. And,
yeah.
And then there's variables on pulling the bow. Like, we're pretty good in the backyard, but when it's actually go time and you got to turn and you have limbs and you have guides and you have to be quiet, it's wild. It's not an easy thing to do.
No. And, you know, it's definitely, it's even with a, you know, even if with a firearm, it's not necessarily as easy, especially either the style of hunting or what you kind of expect out of yourself and demand out of yourself. You know, I mean, if you want to just take a pop shot at a deer at 300 yards.
Yeah.
It's not too difficult to get to that point. But if you kind of demand that you're going to, all right, well, I'm going to only shoot him at 100, or, you know, like I'm going to shoot him in the neck or something like that to not screw up the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Cause then it's like, you either hit him and you kill him or you miss him and it's a clean miss. You know, I got to go hunting with, Gus Kanjemi of Live the Wildlife. What the hell was that, last week? Yeah. Last week. And we went turkey hunting, and it was kind of like run and gun up in New York. So
that seems like a pretty damn cool hunt.
It wasn't. We weren't using the bow. I would have liked to have used the bow, but that style of hunting, it's just too hard. You know, the eastern turkeys are so skittish when it comes to that movement. So to like try to like reap one or something like that with the bow, I mean, is extremely difficult unless you've got like one of those turkey blind umbrellas on the front of your bow,
which seem like a pretty cool thing to have.
Yeah, they do make. We had it in on a couple good spots, and we had turkeys like all around us, and it was intense. Unfortunately, I only had a shot opportunity on a couple jakes, and I decided to pass because there was a gobbler in the area. So, you know, hopefully get up with them again soon here and while the season's still open and get one.
Nice.
But it was definitely a lot of fun, you know, like I said, different style of hunting. Like we'd come in and call and, we went to a few spots where you're like calling and moving and calling and moving and stuff like that. And it was pretty neat as opposed to sitting in a blind for, you know, 10 hours in Iowa.
That's not easy. A 10-hour sit is not easy.
So definitely different style. So, it was more fun, in terms of like excitement, even though I wasn't successful, but
just kind of like action the whole time. There's no falling asleep there.
No. I definitely fell asleep out in Iowa. So, now I'm in fight camp. So no more trips until after fight.
Oh, so what do you got? 6 weeks?
Something like that.
You're ramping it up.
Yeah. Yep. getting into it.
What are some of your, like, your inside thoughts? Have you, like, broken down tape on Pettis? Where do you think you're going to have the advantage?
I'm not a big tape watcher. You know, the way that I look at it is, you know, we're professionals. And in 4 months, I can develop something new. I can develop something that I didn't do. And I have plenty of things that I haven't done in fights and won fights with that I've been working on for years now.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody's just going to look at a couple things on film for me, they're not looking too deep into my skill set. So I just try to prepare myself and get in the best shape I can and prepare to fight the best in the world, you know, and prepare to exploit any weakness. So, you know, I've seen Pettis fight many times, so I know what to expect. He's a talented striker, and he's very unorthodox.
And his ground game's kind of underrated. I mean,
I think it's underrated. He's aggressive.
Decent jiu-jitsu.
I think he's got decent jiu-jitsu. Yeah, I think he subbed some guys out when he hurt him, and I think he caught Benson off guard. It's nothing against him. Nothing against the submission. I mean, it's beautiful.
You got
beautiful
it.
Beautiful armbar. I hope he wants to grapple. You know, let's do it. So, get geared up for it.
Nice. I think it's going to be a fight that fans are going to love. It's going to be a treat to watch, and I think it'll be that's going to be one of those ones.
I don't know where on the card it is yet.
Fight of the night.
I never wanted to be fight of the night though.
No, I know. I understand that.
Like, fight of the night means it's close.
Yeah.
And most likely my leg hurts. Right, Dex? You are really annoying tonight. He's like, I want to go inside.
Yeah.
Well, I can't let you inside. Go sit at the door and do your woof. But he's been quiet, so.
He has been pretty quiet.
So we're
at an hour, over an hour.
Yeah. All right.
We were gonna get into some parenting talks, but I don't know that we have time to dive into that subject.
I don't think we got the time tonight.
It's complex. We're gonna have to table that one. Shelf it.
Yeah.
Shelf it for next time.
I think the parenting we should leave to the other people while we're sucking down strong gin and tonic.
Yeah, in the backyard, which is nice. That's the best part of parenting is gin and tonics in the backyard. That's not true.
It's close, though. All right. So, yes, we will be rebranding soon. Same stupid comments.
Same two assholes.
Same. Three assholes.
Three assholes.
Yeah. If he's here. Just a different name. So check out JimMillerMMA.com. Like I said, I will be keeping it up to date with fight announcements and all that stuff. And it's going to be like looking through a keyhole into my life. So it'll be fun. I'm going to bring you to strange places. Have a good night, guys. Thanks for tuning into the Jim Miller Podcast. Remember to like, share, and subscribe to the podcast so that we can keep bringing you more. Also, check out JimMillerMMA.com to stay up to date with everything that's going on. Thanks.